Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number two. Company for the take-in, Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage on this Tuesday around the country here. As we venture into the middle of December, a whole lot of credit cards burning up, a lot of packages. We're getting bombarded every day. I don't even know what's showing up at the door these days.
Yeah.
Oh, God almighty.
You're probably not allowed to check it because they're likely gifts.
I'm quite sure that none of them are for me. Quite sure.
Yeah, you're right.
Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. McAfee was a trip, as always.
Oh, he's great.
He is. A lot of energy. Herman Moore's going to join us this hour, inbounds, out of bounds as well. You know, I want to get into a conversation whether or not, because we know the path now for the Eagles and the Cowboys, what remains? Can either of those two teams generate anything to muster something up and become relevant in the playoffs? But before we get into that conversation, I want to ask you this about Eli, who threw a couple of touchdowns, looked really good in the first half. He has not, you know, I'd say that is one story that nobody has cracked. Nobody, whether it's Glazer, whether it's Lockenfora, whether it's Adam Schefter, I don't care who you are, nobody has cracked the code on what Eli is really thinking about in terms of his future plans.
Yeah, what his intents are next year. Could he retire, or is he going to decide he wants to play someplace else next year?
Not a peep. We've speculated, not a peep. Although I do think last night, the fact that Peyton was there in the booth, in the suite, the fact that his wife Abby was there, I thought that was pretty telling.
Yes, mom.
His whole family was there.
Yep.
All right, so let me ask you this here, Teague. The Giants, Pat Shurmur came out and said Daniel Jones is still the starter, and I get that. He just spent the sixth overall pick on him. I get that. You're not going to change now and radically, abruptly change course. Daniel's the future. Eli's the past. You have a home game against the Dolphins coming up this week. Then you have the Eagles in the finale at home as well. Do the Giants approach Eli at some point? Should they? In your opinion, should they approach him and say, listen, we want to construct a plan here at home that gives you a chance to play and, you know, in one final symbolic send-off, exit a game. It's hard to do that. You can do that in baseball at home plate. You can leave as a pitcher in the middle of an inning. Basketball, you know, you can – football's tough. Do the Giants try to do that? Should they try to do that?
Yeah, I mean, they do. They should, but they might not even have to orchestrate it because Daniel Jones has a high ankle sprain, which we all know because of Tua, what that actually means. It could be something very minor sprain in those ligaments around your ankle, or it could be a major one. We don't know yet. And so Daniel Jones might not be able to play for the next 3 weeks. And so Eli gets a chance to ride off in the sunset in a normal way. With that being said, you're right, BT. I don't know if he's ready to hang it up. I've gotten no indication. No one's gotten any indication. He hasn't said anything about it. There's not leaks about it. There's not, you know, conversation being had around it. It was like Daniel Jones took over and Eli Manning just blended into the background.
Because Daniel Jones had such a great first game against Tampa.
True.
It was magical.
True.
That comeback, and it kind of pushed Eli to the corner.
Nobody talked about Eli.
Yeah.
And so it is a compelling, you know, for a team that's 2-9 right now, it's a compelling storyline because of what he means to the organization. What he means to football. There's not that many two-time Super Bowl MVPs. They showed the stat last night. I don't think I even realized it. There's only five.
Yeah.
Five players.
Yep.
Most obviously all quarterbacks who have been multiple Super Bowl MVPs.
That's pretty incredible list.
It's a great list.
Yeah. And there's also only three that have losing records.
That's true.
Joe Namath is one of them.
Yep.
Eli and somebody else. I forget who it was. They had that graphic.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
It was an old timer somewhat.
But and so he's got this complicated.
He does.
Like history.
Oh, yeah.
He's revered in some ways.
Sure.
But he's very debatable in others. And for a half, he looked amazing. And in the second half, I don't even know if it was his fault or if it was play calling or, you know, what. It just felt like the Eli that we had seen for the last year and a half. And so he's going to play again. I think he'll play at least at some point in these last two home games. I do. And I think he should. Probably start until he gets the introduction.
I would think so too. Would you put him in the Ring of Honor now? Like, would you do something like that? Would you orchestrate it to that level, or you bring him back in 2 years? And I mean, it's obviously going to happen.
Yeah,
he'll be up there with you.
I would wait.
You'd wait a little bit.
I think I'd wait because it'll be a special moment. I think a more special moment with time.
I agree. It would almost get obscured by... I agree. You may as well stretch it out.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little separation, a little distance makes the heart grow a little fonder. Not that Giant fans have anything against Eli, obviously, but I'm sure Eli's a little ticked off of the way this went down, and I'm not so sure he has a right to, but he's a competitor. Giants haven't won since 2013, last time. You know, I mean, it's been pretty ugly. Well, a couple of years ago when they made the playoffs against the Packers, the one winning season since 2013.
That was 2014, right?
I thought it was 2016. No, it was 2016 when they went on the boat. It was 2016.
It
was 2016.
You're right.
And they lost to the Packers. So before we turn the page on Eli, at least for today, are there even any teams, just to kind of kick this down the road, and is there any possible fits for him?
Well, I think the options are there's too many other options, meaning the quarterbacks that are coming out of the draft.
Yeah.
This could be, and we've talked about this multiple times this year, BT, this could be an epic turnover for veteran quarterbacks. Like, very rarely do you see veteran quarterbacks who have been starters consistently for one team come free and available.
Such as?
Cam Newton will likely be one. Andy Dalton. Will be another one.
Mariota.
And maybe Tannehill. And maybe Tannehill.
I think he's going to stay there, Tannehill. I think they're going to pay him.
Should.
I think they're going to pay him.
I would.
I would too.
I mean, he's balling.
But one of them's gone.
Exactly.
So, to your point.
I mean, there's at least four. And you throw in the three guys, maybe even more if you really start digging into the draft class that are going to come in. So there's like seven quarterbacks.
Stafford? Lions move on from Stafford?
I can't see that because there's no heir apparent.
I hear you.
Jameis could be free.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about it.
Nick Foles could be free.
Nick Foles, I mean.
That would be punitive. That would be a rough absorption from the cap. I mean, from a dead money point of view, that would be bad.
That's a big number.
They might have to swallow it for one more year and just suck it up.
But why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
So yeah, there could be upwards of six vets.
Mike said Flacco. No, I don't think anybody wants Flacco, but that's a fair name.
But there could be six vets in addition to the three or four. He played like a beast last week.
I know. Did you see the play?
Yes.
Did you see what's going around social media today?
Yeah, with Yannick Ngakoue?
With Ngakoue?
Yeah.
The 93-yard touch or the 90-yard touchdown pass that they had, right? Yeah. Rivers, you got to see this. It's riveting stuff, and it takes you inside the helmet for Rivers. What a trash talker.
He's been this way his whole career.
Yeah, but this was weak what he did. Let me describe it for everybody, and you can find it on your own. But what happened was...
Yeah, post it, Sam, if you can find it.
It was. I saw this morning. It was phenomenal. So Ngakoue hits him clean.
Yep. Balls out though,
but it was clean. It was balls out. It was almost simultaneous. Nothing dirty. Immediately, Ngakoue, in a real show of sportsmanship, immediately leans down, picks him up, pulls him, and Rivers grabs his hand.
Yep,
pulls him up, and he screams 90 yards, 90 yard touchdown. Yeah,
and he kept saying it.
It was pissed. He's like, I'll see you after the game.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll see you in the tunnel.
Yeah, and the ref was standing right there. He told Phillip Rivers to shut the blank up.
I was pretty weak on Rivers' part. Guy cleaned you off the turf, man. And you're just yapping for 13
but
seconds
that's
incessantly.
Phillip Rivers, man. That's his MO. He's been like that way his whole career.
No, I know, but I thought that was a little, I don't know, I was a little surprised at that, actually.
Yeah, it was rude.
I kind of liked it, and then I didn't.
I give Ngakoue a ton of credit for not, like, teeing off.
Like the restraint?
Yeah.
He could have easily crushed him.
He could have.
If that's somebody else, I think he probably would have.
I think the reason, because it felt resigned at that point in the game. The Jacksonville Jaguars are in a free fall right now.
Yeah, they really are.
So,
along with the Raiders.
Like,
and they're playing each other this weekend.
Yeah, like the passion is likely gone from a lot of the guys on that team. And so if it was a tight game, I think we might have got a different reaction.
That's even more reason not to do it at a tight. You get the 15-yard penalty.
True.
If you're going to do it a blowout. Nobody cares.
Yeah,
he probably just respects Rivers. Yeah. And he's like, you know what? The old man's having a good day.
And he's a good kid.
So, anybody else?
But my point is there's a lot of like veterans that are going to come free.
Yep.
And I think Eli falls to the back of that list.
I don't see a place for him.
Yeah.
I looked at every team in this. I'm looking at the standings now. The Bills have Josh Allen.
Yep.
The Dolphins are going to draft somebody. The Pats have Brady. Or maybe What if Brady goes somewhere else?
Stop.
What? What?
Oh, yeah.
Jason Lock Enforcement's been speculating about that for a while.
But Brady's on that list, too, now.
But that's true. But that opens up. Well, then they might probably get somebody better than Eli. The Jets have Darnold. Cowboys are set. The Giants are set. The Eagles are set. The Redskins are set unless the new coach wants to draft somebody. But Haskins has played okay. Ravens set. Bengals, we mentioned them. Browns are set. Steelers set for another year with Big Ben. Trubisky's redeemed himself, so they're set there, I think. I think maybe in a year the Stafford-Lions relationship could end. I don't think it ends this year. The Packers are set. The Vikings are set. Texans set. Colts are pretty set, right?
Yeah, I think they are.
Plus they paid them. The Jaguars, we identify. The Titans, probably Tannehill stays put. Matty Ice, probably he's going to stay with the Falcons.
Yeah. He's having a good year. He is having a good year.
He's not their problem.
No.
The Panthers, you know, the Cam situation, which we've discussed. The Saints are probably still set for another year with Breeze or Bridgewater or the other kid.
Taysom Hill.
The Bucks we discussed. The Broncos probably had their new guy in lock. Chiefs are set. Chargers, Rivers. Raiders probably set. And even if the Raiders aren't set, the Raiders aren't going into Las Vegas with Eli Manning as their quarterback. Cardinals set, Rams set, Niners set, Seattle set. There's not a place for him as a starter.
Yeah.
And I just don't see him packing up his shoulder pads and going to it. That would be sad.
Yeah.
Unless he just loves football that much, then go for it.
I mean,
you know, go do what you, you know, if you want to keep playing, try.
I think the challenge is that Eli's contract is up after this year. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's end. So he's free and he's free. He's really free. Giants don't have any obligation to him. There's no, you know, there's no business there.
No.
And so
there's nothing to consider.
But he's got three daughters and a son. He lives in Summit, New Jersey. Like, I mean, he's established himself in a great place.
Yeah.
Like
got a place in the Hamptons that he recently bought. Yeah, where's he going?
Like it's hard unless that fire is still there. But he's going to be 39 years old next year.
But that's why it was so interesting the way he played last night. He looked fresh, certainly in the first half, and then he looked tired when he was getting hit in the second half. He looked fresh, he looked spirited, he looked locked in, he looked competitive, and, you know, we can theorize as much as we want, but you have to wonder, did it re-trigger that competitive gene that was laying dormant for a little while? Maybe he's saying to himself, man, I'm still pretty good. I'm out here without a decent offensive line. My tight end's hurt. You know, I don't really know Golden Tate yet. And I'm still making plays out here. Maybe that changed his mind. And if he starts this weekend against Miami and plays well, and he might, you never know.
You're right.
So we'll see. We shall see. We've got Herman Moore coming up. We'll ask him the question about Stafford. And, you know, because there's been a lot of speculation there. But more specifically, is Patricia 2-and-done? Are they going to find a new coach? That's a team that just cannot get it right. Caldwell was the best thing they had in a long time. They got rid of him. Back-to-back 9-win seasons, they fired him.
Right.
How do you keep Patricia after you fired Caldwell, who did a pretty good job there? So we'll talk about that. We have inbounds, out-of-bounds coming up in the 440 segment. And we will get back to the question of Dallas and Philly. Can either team muster something up to make a little run from a personnel point of view to maybe be a threat in the loaded NFC? We'll tackle that as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
If you're in need of a last-minute gift this holiday season, O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. They have several options for gifts under $20, like a digital tire gauge, a 20-in-1 multi-tool, storage containers, or even a universal backup camera. Or you can get professional quality power torque tool sets starting at just $19.99. Not to mention gift cards for that hard to shop for person on your list. You can even buy gifts online and pick them up at your nearest O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Take the stress out of holiday shopping and head to O'ReillyAuto.com to place your order for convenient pickup in store. O'Reilly Auto Parts has thousands of quality parts and accessories in stock. You can shop from your phone, tablet, or computer and pick them up on your schedule. With more than 5,000 stores nationwide, there's an O'Reilly Auto Parts store near you with friendly professional parts people who can have your order ready and waiting when you arrive. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day.
All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here is 1-855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more. Tee, back in the day, this guy was catching 100 passes a year when very few people were catching 100 passes a year. We're talking about Tiki's Wahoo Wah mate. You didn't play with
no,
him.
No, we didn't cross.
Herman's a little bit older. Not much, Herman. A couple years. The great Herman Moore, who in 95, 96, 97 averaged over 110 catches, 4 Pro Bowls, 3-time All-Pro, and we've had him on a ton. One of the class acts in sport. Good guy. A great Lion. How you doing, Herman? Welcome back to Tiki and Tierney. How you been, buddy?
Hey, I'm real good. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Welcome back.
Yeah, you're back again with the Quick Lane Bowl. This will be the Pitt Panthers and the Eastern Michigan Eagles. This is on December 26th up at Ford Field. Tell us a little bit about this, because it's always great what Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center does. They promote trading one uniform for another, and obviously the scholarship is associated with this, $10,000. Tell us about this, because it's a great initiative. We have you on every year to talk about it, and kudos for that and to them.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you. I was talking to someone earlier, and then realizing, this is my fifth year doing it with them. And since I've been on board as a brand ambassador and also a bowl ambassador for the Quick Lane Bowl, just the support of our military men and women has been tremendous. And to continue to see that and now see that the program has been extended with these $10,000 scholarships that are given out every year towards the automotive maintenance and repair certification. We've included the first responders. We started that last year, and the response and the nominations this year grew tremendously. And we're happy to be able to announce those winners on December 26th. And giving some financial assistance to those that I think need it, and helping them as they start to make that transition is key. And any support they can get from companies like Quick Lane goes a long way. So, really happy to be a part of that, and I think I've told you guys this in the past, big military family. That's a part of my fabric, and so it's definitely something I'm very supportive of.
You know, one of the initiatives that I know that you guys are talking about at Quick Lane is the fact that there's a shortage of auto technicians, and this came to fore really personally about 3 weeks ago. So I took my son out to Notre Dame to go on an official visit. So we fly into Chicago. I mean, 5 minutes after I'm on the road, my rental car has a flat tire. And so I call the rental car company. They're like, yeah, it'll be back in an hour. I'm like, an hour? I'm not sitting out here on the highway for an hour. So I ended up having the tire, blown up because they had a pump, but there was a nail in it. And I found a tire center. And I was talking to the guy at the tire center, and he was saying the exact same thing. He said, look, school is not for all people, but some of these kids who are in trouble in the hood, because we're outside of Chicago now. We're not in Chicago. We're outside of Chicago. Could find a trade that could really create a career for them. And it's good to see that this trading one uniform for another in the scholarship program kind of is speaking to that, because it's college isn't for everybody. It's great. It's awesome, but it's not for everybody.
Yep, it's not. And I think you hit the nail on the head with all of that. And it's exactly what it's for. There is a shortage of the repair techs that are out there, and especially in the automotive industry. It's a great career. The pay is outstanding.
That's right.
And it's a skills trade. And for us, I have a staffing firm, and that's one of the shortages that we're glad to see that the pipeline is going to increase and have a little surge in there that's needed, because right now there is a shortage. And this is a growing company. Right now they have over 800 locations. So they have plenty of space.
Yeah.
You're doing good things, Herman Moore. Yeah. I love it. Maybe Tinky can learn how to jack up
a
tire.
I know how to change a tire. It's destroyed. I drove on it when it was flat, and like it deteriorates. So.
I hear you. Herman Moore is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. So this is the fifth year affiliated with the Bowl, and it's interesting because the previous 4 years, I've asked you the same question I'm about to ask you now. Who's coaching the Lions next year? It's like, I got to tell you, Herman, it is depressing, man. I mean, at this point, Caldwell's got to seem like Vince Lombardi after back-to-back 9-win seasons. Listen, I thought Patricia had him on the right track at one point this season. I don't think he's the guy, with all due respect. What are they thinking? What happens once the season ends?
We came in already with a lot of pressure. With Coach Caldwell, the bar was, hey, we need playoffs. We need better than 9-7. And then when the team underperforms, as an owner, my question is, so what happens next? Where's the criteria and what's being said? And Mrs. Ford's an outstanding owner. I've had nothing but good relationships with the Ford family and the people they brought in. But at some point, I think it becomes, what's the bar? You know, are you looking to just be competitive? Are you looking to be a championship team? Are you looking to start to really define what this franchise will become going forward? Right now, it seems like it's just continuing to be the circle, and they're just chasing the same circle and inside the same circle. But right now, a lot of people are looking. There's a lot of you could hear a lot of the chattering that's taking on in the background in terms of what happens next with this team, what happens next with a few players, what happens upstairs with management. And we see that all the time when this team underperforms. But this year has been probably the worst I've seen it in the years I've been here.
All right, let me ask you this. You're a smart guy. You have connections. You were a hell of a player. The city loves you. If you theoretically own the Lions, because, you know, listen, I'm a Jets fan, so I've been there. There's just certainty the Browns, we can't get out of our own ways, and there's some sort of commonality and respecting your relationship with the Fords. I don't want to, you know, put you in a rough spot. I know you guys are close, but let's face it, certain bad teams are bad for a reason, and it generally goes back to the ownership. If you owned the Lions, what's the biggest thing you would change?
I think you have to change the expectation of even the people that you hire. I probably wouldn't hire anymore on the professional level in that pool that's taking place. I think there are those that are the good ones are wrapped up, and I think they're there. And it's not to say the other ones are bad. You know, just keep recycling guys that are coming from one place to another. I wouldn't do that. I'd just go down to the collegiate ranks. I'd find me that guy, and then I'd start to build a team around them. I'd make it to where we don't have to get into that. You know, that door that keeps changing, and you know, they're just bringing baggage from one place to another, and then if it works, it works, and then if it doesn't, oh, that person wasn't as good in that tree. You know, after a while, I think it becomes a distraction, and I would take some bigger risk. I think I'm bringing in even more players, former players, that understand the level of what's needed. You know, I don't need any more philosophy guys, and I'm sorry. I mean, I just don't. I need people to understand that this is a short window. And the respect needs to be day one. And right now, I don't think the kids and the players that are coming through have the same respect level that these players are looking for, because it's a different day. It's a different game than what it's been. Those that can get the players to stand behind them and play. But then I just make it to where it's cut and dry. Hey, if these are the expectations, here's what your chart needs to look like. Otherwise, your job is in jeopardy, and here's what your chart needs to look like. And you don't even have to ask me any questions at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You already know whether you hit those things that we discussed. And if you didn't, we have nothing to talk about. Players are held to that standard. I don't understand why we pick and choose where it goes. And I'm not throwing this at Coach Patricia or throwing this at the Lions organization, but I'm saying there's a simple way to do this, because as players, we live and breathe it all the time.
That's a heck of an answer right there. Boy, Lion fan, speak it into existence. Maybe it'll happen for you guys. Herman Moore is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Great answer.
Next general manager of the Detroit Lions.
I know.
Herman, let me take you back to your playing days, particularly with Barry. And I say this because of my guy now here in New York, Saquon Barkley. Now, Barry was one of those guys that could dance around a little bit, make you miss, make you look foolish, leave your jock on the ground, and then go make some plays happen. I'm feeling like when I watch Saquon, he wants to be that guy, but he's not that guy. When you were teammates with Barry Sanders, those negative plays, did they frustrate you? Or was it because the potential of a home run was, I mean, it was so palpable, you accepted it. You know what I mean?
Well, with Barry, it's a little different. So here's a guy that you accepted because, yeah, he may lose some yards, but we knew that was his style. You know, it wasn't like he all of a sudden left college and he came here and all of a sudden he became a different player and he's trying to create something.
Yeah.
He had his style. So we knew that sometimes he's just going to lose some yards, and then sometimes he's going to have a phenomenal one-yard run, and then other times he's going to break it big with or without your help. So that's kind of who he was. And when you average 1,500 yards a season,
yeah.
I mean, it's hard to
get away with
say anything, right? But at the same time, I think there's a time and place for every type of back. I don't think it's one guy solves all your problems. I think it's, you know, that person has to have some relief. That person has to have, Tiki, you know this, you got to have some linemen that's got to make some blocks. Yeah, there are going to be times where you got to make guys miss. But it's fitting that system, but it's also being true to who you are and what you are. And then when you're young like Saquon is, it's like developing that. And then that's what I saw with Barry. He never abandoned it. He never tried to be something he wasn't. He just, I'm Barry. Here's what I need. And then you start to build around him to fit that style.
Yeah.
You know, Herman, I'm going to wrap it up with Herman Moore here, who's with us, joins us every year, one of the great players of the 90s, three straight years, well over 100 catches when it wasn't very common. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, went to Virginia as
Proud
as
Wahoo.
That's right.
Wahoo.
Wah.
There it is.
That just sounds weird, though. I mean,
no,
it doesn't sound cool.
About?
It's just such a weird
Tierney,
wah,
here
wah.
Wahoo. Wah.
You guys are weird, although you're both smart.
I can tell when people are just wearing the hat or like on the bandwagon. Yeah, I'll walk by and I'll be like, wahoo, wah, and they don't respond.
I'm like, dude, they don't count.
Dude, you're fake.
They don't count. I got
you. Virginia gear right now.
Yeah, I love it.
Are you really? Nice, nice. All right, so I asked you philosophically what you would alter if you owned the Lions. Would any change, any tweak, or any overhaul include maybe finally moving on from Matthew Stafford and trying something different?
I wouldn't necessarily move. I would have brought and drafted a quarterback sooner, and one that I don't care if he was a high pick and that he wasn't playing as much, but he would have been under the tutelage and under the direction of learning from a guy like Matt Stafford, who has, I've seen tremendous growth in this player over his career. And the way he's done it, I think you're not going to be able to replace that by waiting to Matthews at the very, very end and then bringing in someone. Then Matthew's gone. Then this guy's kind of stuck on his own with whatever coaching you could give him. He has the greatest tutor he could have right now if they were to go, and I would have done this a year or two ago, and I would get that player. And then that's where it is in his career. I don't think Matthew's done unless he wants to be done. I think there's going to be some question in terms of longevity at this point. But the Lions definitely have to look seriously at who's going to be the next signal caller that leads this franchise.
Good stuff. Herman Moore.
You know, the game is December 26th, 8 p.m. at Ford Field, the Quick Lane Bowl. Pitt Panthers versus the Eastern Michigan Eagles. Herman, I'm sure you'll be there. Well, we'll be watching. Go to quicklane.com to find out any details. You can also get some coupons there. Herm will hook you up. So
better.
That's what Herm does. That's what us Wahoos
Herm
do.
Herm the hookup artist.
Exactly. Yeah, appreciate you, Herm.
Thanks, Herman.
Thank you.
Always. Thank you guys for having me.
Be well.
Silky smooth.
He is. He's great, man. So,
you almost forget he finished his career with the Giants.
Yeah.
And I know you don't forget that,
yeah,
but
yeah.
You almost forget. Like, you go to look at his stats. Like, that's right. He finished over the Giants for a minute at the end there.
Right.
He was a beast, man. He was just so polished and such great body control for a big man.
He was also a great example because he would come back to Virginia all the time. Mm-hmm. He used to have a basketball tournament at the old U Hall. And, like, all those teammates would come. Like, Barry Sanders would come.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Okay.
And so here we are, like, I don't know, 19-year-old kids, and in walks Herman and Barry and
that's
all
sweet.
These, like, stars from the NFL. It was awesome. It was, like, and he always carried himself with, I don't know, like, this grace and this dignity.
Yeah.
You hear it in his voice.
There's no question.
And if you meet him, it's even more so.
Class act.
Exactly
100%
right.
Class act. Lions fans should only be so lucky to have this guy calling the
that's
shots.
Right. That's right.
All right, let's get the update here from Act. Coming up after that, a little something that we do every day on Tiki and Tierney. It's a staple, a little inbounds, out of bounds. Let's see what we have. It is, what is on the menu? Well, 49er injuries. All right, a little something on Greg Popovich and the Spurs, whether this is maybe the end of the road for Pop. A little something on the winter meetings, a little Heisman Trophy stuff. It sounds like a nice mix. So we'll get to that after Act's update, which is right now. Here's Rich Ackerman. Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a key AFC South battle between Deshaun Watson and the Texans. What the heck happened to them last game? Taking on the Titans, who are rolling, while others will see Kansas City taking on Denver. Denver looked pretty good. Very good. They rolled the Titans, or the Texans there. Plus other regional action. It all begins with JB and the guys setting up the day on the NFL today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Coming up on the show. Sound very professional there, Tiki. Coming up on the show today. Coming up. Does the NFL need to come down hard on the Pats just for perception purposes? We'll get back to that. A little something on the Bills as well. We'll get to the Blast. Carmelo playing against the Knicks tonight. It's in Portland, so I won't quite have the juice when he actually comes to the Garden. I believe that's coming up very soon, too. But I hope Carmelo scores 50. I hope he just goes. He probably won't. But they win.
They should let him try to score 50.
The disparity in talent is enough where they could try.
That's what I mean.
They could feed him.
Yep.
At least go for 30 or just have a real throwback night. So we'll squeeze it all in for you. But right now, time for a little inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, the Niners escaped New Orleans with an epic win over the Saints, but suffered some big issues here in the game as well. First, news broke that center Weston Richburg will miss the remainder of the season with a torn ACL. It's bad news. Now, defensive leader, at least one of them, Richard Sherman, who's having a pretty resurgent season, will miss multiple weeks himself after suffering a hamstring injury, as will Pro Bowl D lineman D Ford. Injury stacking up for the Niners here. Inbounds, out of bounds. The losses of Ford and Sherman on the defense are worse than the loss of Richburg for the offense.
I'm going to say inbounds because we know what the strength was of this team for the first part of the year. It was their defense. They were the number two defense in the National Football League behind the Patriots, probably above them these days. Richard Sherman's leading the team in interceptions, and more importantly, he's like their center. Like he's their voice of reason, and he's still their energy. Even though he's old now, relatively speaking. So I think that piece of their defense, and let's not forget D Ford, that had 6.5 sacks on the year, which was I think second or so on the team. They're gonna miss their presence because they're guys that'll step up. It is what it is in a National Football League, next man up. But they're not gonna be as impactful on so many different levels as Richard Sherman and D Ford are.
I'm going to disagree, and I'm going to say out of bounds here. I believe that the loss of their center, the way their running game is structured and the elaborate schemes within that running game, I think that's going to be more of a problem. First of all, the losses of Sherman and D Ford are temporary. The loss of their center is
Good
for
point.
The rest of the season here. I mean, you talk about Sherman maybe being the captain of the defense. That center is the captain of the offensive line. He's got a great synergy with Garoppolo. And here's the thing. You know, you show me a decent secondary, and I'll show you a terrific pass rush. I mean, Bosa's still playing. Buckner's still playing. Armstead's still playing. All these guys are still playing. So you can kind of amp up the pressure to maybe mitigate the loss temporarily of Sherman on the back end. But I believe that the loss of their center, Richburg, is more problematic than D Ford and Richard Sherman. I really do. I think that's out of bounds for me.
Are you in or are you out?
NBA Spurs head coach Greg Popovich is in his 24th season at the helm. Now, he's a Hall of Famer, that's for sure. And he's got 5 championship titles and an insane nearly 70% win percentage during the regular season. While Pop signed a 3-year extension in April, he started to indicate that he could step aside any year now. The Spurs are prepping for life without Popovich. Now, the Athletic's reporting that the one name that keeps popping up as a replacement is Kansas's head coach, Bill Self. All right. Interesting name. Inbounds, out of bounds. Self should leave Kansas to coach in the NBA.
I'm going to say inbounds. He has a good relationship with the general manager, Buford, there. So Bill Self, who is dodging, is that the best way to put it? Some issues.
He's hanging on.
In college. I could see him making the jump. And he's young enough where, he's going to have, the respect. He's still going to have the energy. He's going to learn from Pop, at least how it works on that level, for a year or however long it may be. And I think his skill set as a coach translates to the NBA ranks. So I'm going to say, this is inbound. Sounds like a good immediate replacement for Pop should he decide to walk away.
I agree, T. My answer is inbounds as well. This is a man who's really conquered quite a bit. Started his coaching career in the early 90s at Oral Roberts and moved on to Tulsa.
He was at Oral Roberts?
He was.
My dad is at Oral Roberts.
Maybe they hung out. Maybe they did
bong
hits in the dorm.
No, I doubt it. In the 90s.
Oh, you didn't do bong hits in the 90s?
No, my dad didn't in the 90s.
In the 70s?
Yeah.
So he was at Oral Roberts for a little bit.
Roberts. It's like a Catholic
university. No, I hear it. Off campus.
A Christian university.
Off campus.
My dad's an ordained minister.
No, that's true,
He's a professor of theology.
Yeah, keep forgetting.
I know, right?
He's a man of the cloth.
He is.
That's true.
He is.
He was very good at Tulsa, only a couple of years there, but they won a couple of regular season titles. He was very good at Illinois. That was the Darren Williams team. And, of course, he's been terrific at Kansas. He's conquered the college scene. Now, if he wasn't out of blue blood, maybe I can, maybe like, hey, you know, maybe I want to go and coach at Duke if Coach K retires, or Kansas, or pardon me, UNC when Roy Williams hangs it up, or Michigan's, I don't know, I'm just throwing names out, when Izzo hangs it up. But he's at Kansas. He's done that. He's won there. So, you know, I've never really heard him talk about the NBA lore. But then again, I never heard John Beilein really talk about that at all. At all. I mean, he seemed like the prototypical college coach. He's coaching the Cavs.
Yep.
Yeah, plus he's dodging a few asteroids in the in the solar system known as the NCAA. I'll say inbounds, and I think your point about youthful exuberance and how he projects, he's not young, but he feels young-ish.
Yeah.
And I think he's a really good coach. I'm going to say inbounds as well.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, some baseball winter meeting stuff is happening. We know that pitchers are getting paid. Strasburg, 200 and almost 200. What was it? 240?
245,
right? 7 years, 245.
245.
Man, so it's underway. And the first bombshell dropped yesterday, as I said, with Strasburg getting the numbers there. So the defending champs are expected to probably lose Anthony Rendon now. They've been linked, though, in trade talks with the Cubs to bring in former MVP Chris Bryant. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of smoke with a potential Bryant trade. You almost get the sense he's going to be dealt. Though, so have their NL East rival Phillies. So there's it seems like there's a lot of teams vying for the services of Chris Bryant. Inbounds, out of bounds. The Nats need to bring in Bryant more than the Phillies do.
I'm going to say out of bounds to this one. I think the Phillies need him more. Look, we know they have a good roster. Obviously, Bryce Harper, Reese Hoskins are some of the names we know. Andrew McCutchen, if he can stay healthy. Not that he might be on the way, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
I
so think 2 years on his contract.
True, but if you bring in a Chris Bryant and he returns to form, you create that lineup that's so deep that you don't have holes. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, the Phillies need this more than the Nats do, who are kind of on, I mean, they're... Nobody expected them to win the World Series.
Well, does that mean there's no pressure?
You
win 67 games next season?
No. They got to still, you know, be competitive.
Yeah.
But the expectation isn't you got to win. The expectation in Philly
is
why the hell aren't you guys winning?
And they just gave a manager with championship bloodlines a big deal in Joe Girardi. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think that our buddy D.D. Gregorius is going to go to Philly. That's a lot of the...
I keep forgetting he's free.
He's a free agent. And, you know, the DD that you saw a year ago coming back from Tommy John surgery is not the DD Gregorius.
No.
DD can really play. Yeah. He's 29 or 30, still relatively young. You put him in the middle of the infield. Their shortstop, Segura, you can put him to second base. He's a little sloppy with the leather. He's better suited to play second. Girardi loves him. My answer is out of bounds because I don't think that they need to bring him in, because even if they don't bring him in, I think they can go out and get Josh Donaldson for 1 year deal or 2 year deal.
God, he's becoming a mercenary.
He is, but everywhere he goes, he rakes.
That's
and
right.
I think he's going to stay in the NL East. I think the only team that won't be in on him will be two. I think the Mets will not be in on it. I don't think the Mets will go for him. And the Marlins certainly aren't going for Josh Donaldson. But between the Braves, the Nats, and the Phillies, he's going to be in demand. I think he stays in that division. I do believe that Didi goes to the Phillies. The other complicated aspect, quickly, on Chris Bryant, is that they need to resolve the ruling on whether or not that arbitration year counts.
That's right.
So if you're going to trade...
I forget about that one.
You need to know the answer to that, because if he's a free agent in a year, you're going to give up less. If you're getting Chris Bryant for 2 years, you might give up the crown jewel of your system. That needs to be resolved. But my answer is out of bounds pertaining to the question.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Heisman Trophy, the finalists, they've been announced. LSU's Joe Burrow, OU's Jalen Hurts, Ohio State's Justin Fields, and Chase Young will all represent and attend the ceremony here in New York City. All four players will compete in the playoffs, with both Fields and Young playing for the Buckeyes. Fields has thrown for 3,000 yards and accounted for 50 total touchdowns, while Young leads the nation with 16.5 sacks. Keep in mind, he missed two games to injury against two bad teams. He probably would have racked up five or six more. Inbounds, out of bounds. Chase Young has been more instrumental to the Buckeyes' success this year than Fields.
I can't say inbounds to that. I mean, Chase Young has been good. Been really good. He's been great. He's fantastic. But there are games where if he does nothing, they're still going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Fields, if he does nothing, they're not winning.
Yep.
So definitely, this is out of bounds.
I agree. I didn't really have to think too hard about this one. My answer is out of bounds as well. I mean, you know, we've become desensitized to these ridiculous arcade stats. But, I mean, 68% completion percentage, 40 touchdowns, but the key stat, one interception. Oftentimes in cold, Midwest weather, rain, you know, Iowa. I mean, think about the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, once you get out of September, it is cold and it is dank and that football is slippery and the fields are wet and you get some moisture. What a great season. That's easy. I totally agree. Out of bounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, good 2 hours in the books. Coming up, does the NFL need to come down hard, even if it's only, use the word optics and how this looks for the Pats, does the NFL need to swing back and drop the hammer a little bit here from an optics point of view to satisfy, you know, the pitchforks and the questions and the uproar over possibly the Pats cheating again? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.